Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Diecast Movie Podcast, where we do movie discussions and interviews. Our movie discussions are decided by a roll of a die, where we roll a die to pick the genre, and from that, we pick the movie that we're going to discuss. And the interviews range from different people, actors, directors, writers, and so on. Today, we're going to be doing an interview with Iron Knight Cosplay, which is Joe Harvey, and you can follow him along on Facebook. They're going to be at the Mid-Atlantic Nostalgia Convention this September 7th through the 9th in 2023. So he'll be walking around the convention. So if you want to see what costumes he's wearing, we'll be talking about some of them as we go for the interview, and also why he got into cosplaying, and a little bit about the Mid-Atlantic Nostalgia Convention. So I hope everybody enjoys this interview. Otherwise, let's move into the interview now. Thanks. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode, Diecast Movie Podcast, where the movie discussions are decided by the roll of a die, and we also do interviews, too. It's about a 50-50 split, and today I have an interview. This one's different than normal, because normally it's like an actor, director, or special effects person, but something that's been popular, really popular, the last couple of decades has been cosplaying. I mean, that has just taken off. You can look back, it started back in like 1939, is attributed with Forrest J. Ackerman and Myrtle Douglas starting off as the first cosplayers at a convention. You can look back at it to centuries before of costume parties. But in the recent decades, it has really hit big. And a friend of mine, Joe Harvey, is a cosplayer who does Iron Knight cosplay. And I've met him many times at the Mid-Atlantic Nostalgia Convention doing his various costumes. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you for the invite. Excited to be here.
I'm glad to have you here, because one of the things, as a fan of movies, you know, and looking at the stuff, it's like, it's always interesting. I think we've all grown up as kids thinking, oh, if I was Superman or this, and you play him on the thing, and you've taken it to a different level with cosplay, because you actually, and people like yourself that really get into it, go into those costuming and so meticulous with it. What developed your love to want to do that?
It started off very innocently and just grew from there. How it all started, I didn't even know what the word cosplay meant. I didn't even go to conventions at all. And it was when it started was 2014, and I saw a commercial on TV for a convention. It was about 2 hours away from me. And the guests were Adam West and Burt Ward. And so that's the whole thing. I was like, oh, I want to go meet them. That would be fantastic, you know? So I went there, and literally while I was in line to meet them, I started seeing costume cosplayers walking by. And it just blew my mind. And that's how it all started. I just thought to myself, I want to be Batman at least once, you know? I thought that would be so cool. So after the convention, and Adam West and Burt Ward were fantastic, by the way, one of my top celebrities ever that I've met, just wonderful guys. I went home and wanted to do something the most realistic that I could find, because I was going to, I'm also a toy collector, big hobbyist with different things. And so I was going to build a Batman armory, actual piece of furniture, and display it. Because I was only going to wear it once. That was the whole idea, and then just display it. I'm a big fan of all the Batman iterations, but the Christian Bale 3 movies, to me, that just hit me the best as far as, in my mind, how I liked it, how he portrayed it in that mood for those films. So I wanted to do something like that. So my first one, I didn't make the whole thing. I actually was researching, trying to find, and ended up finding a motorcycle company that made motorcycle wear that was able to make a jacket and pants that they would do it, you know, with the designs and everything. And so I got that, and then started to look at all the different versions of stuff I could get, and then made my own cape. And I liked Michael Keaton's cape, you know, with the scalloped edges, but I wanted to combine everything. So that's how the cosplay started with me. Even with that very first one, I was already customizing it and changing it a little bit to my preferences. So the suit was based off Batman Begins. the cowl was based off of Dark Knight Returns, and then the cape was from Michael Keaton's, just a little version of that. And so it's a little combination. And the boots are also Michael Keaton too. So that's how it started. So I made the outfit, and then the first convention I went to meet Adam West and Burt Ward was called Wizard World. They're still around. They tour the country a little bit. I don't know if they're as popular as they was, but at the time they were just popping up all over the place. So I looked, found where the next one was, and it was a couple states away, but I was like, all right, I'm going to be Batman. And so I showed up, and then that was the whole purpose. And while I was doing it, it was just unbelievable, the kids' reactions. Like, and you know, because to them, they're meeting Batman. And before I went, of course, you know, practiced and everything to get the voice and mannerisms down, you know, and all, everything. And so, you know, I was into it. I wanted to do it right and respectable. And, but the kid thing just blew my mind. So after that, instead of just hanging the cape and cowl and being done and everything, I was thinking of other ways where I can get involved. And so I started with children's charities, and just random, I reached out to one, and that's how it started. And then I was, because of that, then I was thinking, okay, well, what other characters? And then, of course, you do DC and Marvel's big. So I was like, well, at the time, Iron Man was huge, and I like Iron Man. So built that whole armor from scratch. And but just started doing the kids' charities and everything. And because of the kids' charities, was getting noticed where convention people who put on conventions started asking me and bringing me in. And it just kept boiling from there, and then just expanded since then. But all started because of Adam West and Burt Ward.
What can you say? Is that it's like Batman was your gateway drug, so to speak, into the world of cosplay. Oh, I'm only going to do one. And I'm sure there's probably a lot of cosplayers out there, people that have done any hobby that they first were like, I'm just going to do this one time. And they enjoy that, whatever particular thing they wanted to do, and end up doing it again and again and again, trying out different things. And I think that's the cool part about it. And Adam West, of course, was, for a lot of people my age, was like their first Batman. I remember watching that show in reruns all throughout my youth, you know, and just enjoying, you know. So when I think of Adam West, I always think of, you know, you're automatically Batman, you know, and the skin tight, which I can honestly say, you probably, most of us are smart, unless you got a certain physique, it's hard to pull off an Adam West skin tight thing. I mean, there's certain things you just don't want people to see, and you know, it's you're a good shape. I'm in a round shape. You're in a better shape than me.
Well, as I'm older, the shape isn't what it used to be, but you're absolutely right. There's plenty of outfits that crossed my mind until I look at them a little closer. I'm like, no, that's not going to work for me. So that does happen.
And I've seen people pull off the Adam West costume, you know, some of them really well. Some of them I'm like, eh, it looks good. It's obviously a reason why I'm not going to wear that costume. You're showing me why, you know, it's just, but they enjoy it. And that's the main thing. And like you said, a lot of people, not just children, but I know from seeing you at Mid-Atlantic walking around in some of your different costumes, which we'll get to in other ones, but it's just, it's cool when you see somebody like yourself. And over the years at Mid-Atlantic, I've seen more and more cosplayers show up. In the last like 5 years, it's like each year it seems to be at least another couple more. It's like at first it was just one or two, then it was three or four. Now it seems to be like 20 to 30 people that I've seen, you know, in person. And they're all just showing different types of things. And it's cool. I saw, what was it, last year, the year before, these three or four people came dressed as the cast of Alice. I mean, you know, it's just, and as a person who grew up watching that, yeah, I'm no longer near child, but it's just, it just reawakens that youthful version of yourself where you see things done and you're just like, oh, you're so appreciative of people taking that time and bring back those fond memories of when they're things that I saw growing up.
Oh, absolutely. And when I first started the Mid-Atlantic Nostalgia Convention, it just, that also just kind of happened because, 2 years prior to that, they had Lee Majors. They had the Bionic Reunion. and which to me was unbelievable. And so I was like, well, I'm going up there. I never been to it before, but once they were coming, I was like, I'm not missing that. So I had just went up, you know, as a normal patron. And I just liked, at that time, I was already, you know, pretty deep into the cosplay. And so I've been to tons of different conventions. And I liked how the convention was run. I liked the people. It just had a great feel to the whole thing. And so then I think it was 2 years later where I finally got a cosplay where I felt would fit the nostalgia convention, and I started doing Lone Ranger. So I contacted them and said, you know, because I never saw cosplay there either. And when I was there, I did talk to some people, and they said occasionally someone will dress up to meet somebody, but not a lot's going on there. So I contacted Martin and you know, just told him what I did, and had references. Like I said, it's expanded to the point where I had references from everything, even government agencies that I've worked with, for the adoption one in D.C. and just, you know, everything, military bases, and they welcomed me and I guess let me get my feet wet and everything. So to see what all I do. So I went there and they had a great reception for the stuff I did. And so got invited back. And then eventually finally got the title of the official resident cosplayer of the Mid-Atlantic Nostalgia Convention. And like you were mentioning, the cosplay has grown. And that's a fact, because I keep a strong eye on that. And I like to think I had a little part in that, just by being there constantly. Because anytime a convention brings me in, I am there for the show, not myself. So I try to give them as much as I can. So I at least do, you know, 2 cosplays per day, every day, different ones, to try and reach different people with the different characters. Because, you know, not everybody likes the same stuff. So I mix it all up and try to get out there. And as that's been going, also people who attended the show, and you know this, what I've noticed too, the Mid-Atlantic Nostalgia Convention, it almost seems like it's growing every year, and it probably is by the numbers. But you still have people who repeat. They come back again and again because it's a great show. And even some of those who were there even before I started coming to me and talking about, and they're even cosplaying now. And so I saw that last year, some people that were there as regular attendees before I started, they started cosplaying. And so I, in my mind, I had a small part in that for sure. I'm hoping to, you know, just make it more comfortable, because they never had it, you know, as it is. And it has become, because cosplay in general has grown tremendously since I started. And it was, you know, and it was growing before I got into it. So I've seen it, you know, expand. And it, and I feel like that convention for sure just needed a little seed in there to make it okay and people get used to it and be comfortable with it. So, I really definitely saw the difference with that too.
And I will say, you and I both started with the same first Mid-Atlantic Nostalgia Convention, because my first one was the Bionic Reunion. And so you and I started I think one of the best ones. I mean, come on, Lee Majors, Lindsay Wagner, Richard Anderson, which both of us got to see in one of his final times. Out, I think it was the final convention or one of his final ones. And it was just great to see, you know, to capture that youth. But you talked about children's charities and conventions, and this is one of those conventions that hits both, because of St. Jude's. All the proceeds that they at Martin Graham's, the convention makes, goes to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. So this is one that hits, I think, both your wheelhouses, where you get to go help other people get that reminiscence and develop that cosplaying, but also you're able to help support in even a small way St. Jude's.
Absolutely. That was another thing that drew me to them. And so that's, you know, every now and then, like, I have reached out to convention, but it's few and far between. I'm usually getting contacted because my name has gotten around in the cosplay community. But that was one of the reasons why, not just I had a great time and it was ran well, but the way it's set up from top to bottom, it's like, you know, there's something going on, it's good. And that was one of the exact reasons why that all started for me with the Mid-Atlantic too, was because of that. And it's nice to see, and I've seen conventions come and go. They're pop up, new ones pop up all the time and everything. And a lot of them have the right ideas and try to touch that stuff, but they don't have the full package. So every now and then you get a convention that has the full package, and that's always amazing. And on the downside, I've been to plenty of conventions that were nightmares. So I've learned some stuff through the years. One of my rules too, that I do, and you know, it may miss out because of it, but it seems to be better for me is, because I do get contacted multiple times a year from different venues and stuff. But my rule is I don't do first year conventions anymore, at all. Second year, yeah, I'll take a look at it and see what you're about, and then we can go further. But first year conventions, I don't do. So something like an established convention like the Mid-Atlantic, you know, they've got a track record. You can go back and look and see and get a feel for it. So that helps a lot. But yeah, to find a total package, you do find some. There's been a few that they were ran great and everything. Another one, I don't know if you attended it, was Skate Velocity. And it was usually at the carried out at the Gaylord at the National Harbor. They also did it in D.C. before, but it was run by the Museum of Science Fiction. And great organization. That organization is still around. They're looking for a permanent location in D.C. right now to put this up. And they're connected with everyone, NASA, everyone's involved. Great organization. Their Escape Velocity was a convention that they did to try and reach out and for the organization as they're building to open up the location. Unfortunately, when COVID hit, because COVID changed a lot of stuff, and unfortunately for them, that was one of them. So after they canceled because of COVID and everything, they never restarted the Escape Velocity shows. But that was a good organization too, because it was a lot about the reaching out, especially for education and with the STEM programs, and very strongly rooted, great organization. And they're still around. Like I said, they're kind of doing pop-up conventions within conventions right now. And that's fairly new that they started doing. And another good organization. COVID also messed up the children things, because the children, I was involved in a bunch of different things. And a lot of the events and everything, you know, they're very up close and everything. So when COVID, of course, all that was canceled. But that's the one thing that's lagging as far as recovering from, is a lot of the children's events that I once knew and everything. For some reason, that seems to be lagging. Like the conventions seem to be catching back up now, pretty full force, the ones that are surviving and, you know, continuing on with that. But there's a lot of children events, they either never came back or they came back in a different way, and they haven't kind of fully recovered to the point that they were before COVID. So that's a little unfortunate, because those I enjoy greatly. Like it's just amazing to see a bunch of stuff like that. Various things from everything from battered children's that are taken. You know, there was a Christmas party that they had for those. There were still, you know, in situations where they were taken out of. And so, you know, there's no photography or nothing because of whatever legal stuff going, but, the kids were great, you know, and they've been through so much different things and everything, but to have them, an event for them where they get to meet superheroes and all this stuff like that. I mean, it was just fantastic. So things like that, I really hope that kind of stuff does make its way back, because it makes a difference. You can just tell, even if it's just for one night for those kids. I did hard stuff, like did an adoption. And actually, NBC used to do a program called Wednesday's Child. It was nationwide. Some of the locations would do it. And at the time, DC, NBC affiliate was doing it. And they would feature a child that needed adopted on Wednesdays. And I don't know if they still do it. I kind of see it kind of weighing off. A couple years ago, I seen that one weighing off. But it was a NBC program, because I know other certain NBC stations would do it in different states and everything. So it was kind of, I guess, each station's choice. But got contacted to do one for DC because he was a Batman fan. And another kid needed adopted, rough life and everything. And I got to admit, sometimes it gets hard. So, you know, we're doing it. And so he finally got to meet Batman after he did the talk. But, you know, they're still talking to him and asking him questions, you know, for his feature. And you hear some of those answers and woo, it gets tough. And there was a point where, you know, and I'm Batman and I almost lost it. So I had to concentrate. I'm like, whoa, I'm Batman for him today, you know, so I had to stay going. And it's something, but it makes a difference. Little stuff like that makes a difference. And that's why I like it. Even, you know, like I say, even if it's just for one day, it's pretty interesting and it does make an impact. And it's not just kids. Of all the characters I do, which I do tons, I might be up to 30 at this point. The biggest reactions I get is from Batman. And I don't know why. Even when Iron Man was as popular, yeah, it was popular and, you know, I'd have crowds and all that. But for some reason, Batman, all ages, means something different too, to different people, different ages. And I think it's just one of those characters because it's been around for so long in different iterations too, you know, kid friendly, more, you know, serious movies and everything. The reactions are unbelievable. I've had people just break down and cry because they're meeting Batman. I mean, it's just unbelievable the impact a character like that can have. And I've always, because of that, always take it very responsibly. So when I'm doing functions or anything and I'm portraying this character, I'm very respectful of the character. So how to explain that? Like, in my mind, it's like, look, I don't own this character. I'm just representing him the best, my version, the best I can. But because I'm out there in public meeting the people, I put a lot of emphasis on that of careful what I say, what I do. And it makes a difference. I don't know. It's really enjoyable. And it's one of those things. And to be honest with you, I find cosplay weird. I did when I first started it, you know, because it's a weird thing if, you know, you're not around it and everything. But the more I got into it and see what I can do with it and the different avenues and how it affects people, I've come to enjoy it. Obviously, I'm still doing it. And so it's pretty interesting, but I still find it weird too. I mean, I'm a grown man wearing a cape in public. So, you know, it's like that. Now, when you mentioned, like, you know, as a kid, I mean, you know, as a kid, you dress up, have fun, and you still get that too. So even obviously I'm an adult and we won't mention my age, but I'm up there and
you're a young
but
man.
I still get that.
You're a young man compared to me.
You'd be surprised probably. I'm up there.
I'm sticking with a young man regardless. You can tell me when we're not recording how old you are, but now we don't want to out you here, but no,
please don't. But yeah, you do get that feeling and stuff. And in fact, there's a speaking of the Mid-Atlantic Nostalgia Convention, the one guy started cosplaying recently, and he finally created a character from his childhood. It was a Commander Cody. It's before my time, but I've seen the pictures of it. And, it, you know, it's very old. It's called Commander Cody. That's all I know about it at this point. But I know it was popular at one time. And so he finally got done and sent me a picture. And it was fantastic because he had that smile. And you just see that kid smile in his face as he's standing there as Commander Cody with his helmet and everything. And I think that's fantastic. And you do get that with cosplaying. It actually is a lot of fun.
Exactly. And before we get more into what costumes and stuff like that, you're not just a cosplayer. I shouldn't say just, but, you know, you do have another life. You know, you do have to put the cow up every so often and go out in your normal identity. And you've done a lot of martial art work. So what kind of martial arts are you proficient in? And I know you've written some handbooks or something along those lines.
Yeah, well, the martial arts is what I've done the majority of my life. So I started when I was 8, got out of it, got back into it in my early teens, and then was in it heavy for years. Started off with various styles, because there's a million styles also of martial arts that get brought over here. There was Jeet Kune and everything. My biggest impact was with two styles. First one was Taekwondo, which is very popular now. And, you know, I see schools on every corner. Started with that and got into it very seriously to the point where I started competing nationally and was third in the world in 93. And in the Songnam style, because there's different competitive stuff too. It's a whole thing. And did that and then taught at schools, owned my own school, various things through the years with Taekwondo, and then got out of it and then was looking for something new and different and stumbled into, of course, the MMA, which is popular because of UFC and everything. And one of the aspects of MMA that even if it's not your style, you have to learn it to protect yourself and go with it is the Muay Thai, which is from Thailand. It's their national sport and everything. And it's a very heavy key element in MMA. And found a good instructor because by this time, you know, I've been to tons of schools, have my own. So I know what to look for as far as finding an instructor that not only knows what they're doing, but can also teach because that makes a difference too. Mm-hmm. And just found one and dove right into that for several years. And then because of the Muay Thai and the MMA going big, I was able to secure a book deal with Tuttle Publishing. They're a division of Paraplus Publishing. Tuttle is their Asian division, based in Vermont. And then they also have one in Bangkok offices. And so that's the majority of it as far as that. I mean, I still dabble, but, you know, it's hard to get people I used to train with to train because they're my age now. And so I'm actually working on a friend of mine now and he's thinking about it. So hopefully we can get back to training some serious stuff, but I'm not teaching or anything right now, anything like that. It's all pen and paper now. And, but it's been good. Love martial arts. And that's another thing too, as far as drawing into the cosplay. A lot of the stuff being a teacher, especially if you specialize like in teaching kids and everything, little things you notice and stuff with groups and everything. And I've used that with cosplay also. You know, it's very good. I recommend anybody to dabble in the martial arts. Problem is, you know, finding schools though, I can't, you know, vouch for every school. I don't know. So, because being in it so many years, you know, you have the good and bad with that stuff also. So you see a lot of stuff. So I don't know how much depth you want to get into martial arts, but that's the gist of it. But I've always liked it. I'm actually inducted in the 3 major martial arts hall of fames for various reasons. And just been all over the place with martial arts for years. So thoroughly enjoy it. Probably just as much as cosplay. I enjoy cosplay just as much, and that's kind of why that's my new side hobby that I do.
I did Taekwondo for several years, and I ended up breaking each of my feet at different times during it. But weirdly enough, it was usually my plant foot when I was going to throw a kick. It was the torquing, and it was just, I could hear it snap. And it was really weird, you know, I'm sure you've broken bones before. You hear it snap, and you don't feel it. You know, it's like you could feel it, but you don't feel the pain yet or anything else. And somebody's, it was just like a weight-bearing, it wasn't a weight-bearing bone. It was just a bone that was in there, and it was just like, ah. And then when I broke the other one, after that one got healed up, I was like, you know, my body might be telling me some stuff here that maybe I should switch to something else.
Well, I got to be honest with you. All those years competing in all of it, Taekwondo, MMA, all this stuff, I've never broken a bone. But was it a pre-existing condition?
Nah, it's the first time I ever broke bones in those areas. So,
and was it from the same instruction?
No, it was one of them. I was throwing to break boards, and I was getting my kick, and I think it happened. Like, literally, it snapped just as I was throwing the kick to break the boards. Everybody thought that it was me hitting the boards. I was the only one. Wow. As you know, as anybody knows, like, you see those movies where everything slows down. It was like, yeah. I felt it. I heard it break. I felt it break. I'm looking down at my foot. And it was one of the few times, I think the only time, where I ever threw a kick and didn't break the boards. It was they had five boards they were holding, and I was like, so, and I hit the boards, but I was not looking at them. So my foot hit the wood, but it was not like everything going, because I was focused on my other foot, and they were like looking at the wood. Like, we heard a snap. I was like, hey, that was my foot.
Wow.
And I was walking around, and I was just like, eh. And after 5 minutes, yeah, it's starting to hurt. Yeah, I think I gotta go to get an X-ray, you know, and get that stuff done. And so I drove myself, you know, to the hospital, those kind of things.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just a foot. And, you know, it's just a broken bone. But I also had like a little bit of police background later on, and I grew up in Baltimore City. So there was other fighting styles that I knew. But most of mine, because I'm relatively tall with long legs, I was trying to learn styles that would utilize that to keep people at a distance, and I'd use some boxing type stuff if people got in close. And this was before certain other styles became more and more popular, you know, that kind of thing. The stuff. This one, I was in my late 30s. So it was like,
oh, okay.
So people did not want to spar against me because in Taekwondo, it's all kicks. Because if you don't pull it, you know, you can, even though they're wearing pads, you can leave a mark on somebody.
Oh, absolutely.
And when they see you break some boards, they usually throws the psychological effect into them. And it's just, you know.
Oh, man.
You know.
Wow, I mean, sorry about your bones. But...
Yeah, but you got to play some mind games on that. But you've done many, many different outfits. And the people follow me on Facebook. If you're on my Facebook page, you'll see, if you go back to past years at Mid-Atlantic, you'll see pictures that I've taken of Joe or with Joe. And one of my favorites of yours, and I think you know which one I'm going to head to, is the Gunfighter.
Oh,
Westworld.
Nice.
Come on, it's Yul Brynner, you know, and it's just What was your inspiration? I mean, were you a big fan in the movie, or did you come to it by certain looks and you said, oh, I can pull this off? I mean, what was your inspiration to become the Gunfighter?
When I'm affiliated with a convention, like now I'm the Mid-Atlantic, like I said, I'm their official resident cosplayer. I was that in theory with the Escape Velocity, which was sci-fi based. And so when I'm affiliated, I like to bring new stuff every year. You know, if it's a convention that I go to like that I like to bring different stuff that fits their criteria. So with sci-fi, I was looking for sci-fi, and of all things, another cosplayer that I known from various conventions brought it to me, mostly because of my hairstyle.
you have the Yul Brynner cut.
Right. And so he brought it to me, and it's been years. Like, I didn't even think of that movie for years. And so I went back and rewatched it, and I was like, I love it. You know, and so that's how that came about. I really didn't remember it that well, to be honest with you. So I don't know if I've actually seen it before or just pieces or what, but I did not remember it until then. And I went back and looked, and I was like, I love this thing. And then I researched the show in general and realized how they were cutting edge at the time as far as effects, sci-fi effects in movies and everything. Like, one of the effects was his vision, which was pixelized. And we all, from a certain age, know how pixelization is just irritating. But at that time, it cost them thousands and thousands of dollars to get that effect. You know, and then we spent years trying to get rid of pixelization. But at the time, it wasn't standard. But they wanted that effect. So it had such a good sci-fi aspect to it that I could do it for the show. And then the guy brought it to me, like I said, because of the hairstyle. But I absolutely loved it. And I started researching, you know, just his look and the different stuff. And then I find out it's the exact same outfit that he wore in one of the Magnificent Seven. The exact belt. I mean, it was his exact outfit, and he just reused it for that show. I mean, they changed a little bit, you know, with rips and, you know, but it's the same hat, the same stylish belt, just full blown. I was like, that's pretty neat. So that's how that came about. And I do love it. Yul Brynner, I mean, he was amazing. remember him from several movies, but yeah, that's definitely one of my favorites too. I mean, I just really, really like that. And I like to do stuff I don't see a lot, although I do the popular stuff, especially for the kids. But I do try to do some stuff that I don't see people doing yet, just to get it out there and that. And it's nice because the Yul Brynner brings up the conversation and people remember the show. And since then, they've started the remake of Westworld. It was on HBO. I think it's canceled now. But it's got had three seasons on it. And so I started watching it now because I remember the old one. You know, I'm cosplaying them. And it was nice because they gave a little tip of the hat to them. It was in the first season when they were in the basement. You could see his shadow. He was decommissioned and put into the basement. So I really enjoyed seeing that where they had, you know, the original android down there. But yeah, I'm glad you like it. It's one of my favorites too. I really enjoyed doing it. And sometimes you get people to just remember that character and it gave them nightmares. I ran into a couple like that and they come up and talk to me and they're like, you know, I was scared to death of the android back when I was young. And I seen you walking down the hall just like him and it gave me those feelings. So it's pretty interesting to hear that kind of stuff. But that's part with cosplay. You get everybody's interactions with these characters, which could be anything. Like I've heard all kinds of things. So it's pretty fun. I do enjoy it.
I will say it's like, and you're in it, you're in your character and stuff like that. So so when you're coming up to Joe at the convention or conventions that he's at, just remember he's like he said, he's role playing or as in the cosplay thing, what the character would be doing. Like when he's Batman, he's trying to be like Batman. When he's the gunfighter, he's trying to be like the gunfighter. So, so whatever character he's in, that, it depends on what kind of interaction you'll get from, unless he breaks character. So, you know, you're going to get, so just remember who you're going up to, and what you'll have an idea what to expect from that. But the Mid-Atlantic is almost like the perfect wheelhouse for cosplaying because old-time radio all the way through to modern movies, TV, everything is fair game because it's all nostalgia. And I know there's one costume that you really want the town with, and a lot of people a lot of people don't realize who this character is, but you even had the dog with you and stuff like that. And Sergeant Preston, right?
Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. This is another story too, because, like I was telling you, when I'm involved with the convention, there's also, I get to the point where I ask them, who do you guys want to see at your convention? And I make it happen. This one was one of it, cause I'm a Lone Ranger fan, like the Lone Ranger. I do not remember Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. Don't remember it. It was a TV show, and it was around the time when Lone Ranger was out that they started showing those here in the States, too. but the Green Hornet, Lone Ranger, and Sergeant Preston Yukon were all from that WXYZ in Detroit radio station. That was their trio. And so they're all connected in some way, like the Lone Ranger and Green Hornet are literally connected by relatives, which some people don't realize in the story, but even Sergeant Preston of Yukon is tied into there in different ways, and they all originated there out of that Detroit radio station. So being familiar with the Green Hornet and Lone Ranger, and then talking with Mid-Atlantic, you know, that one popped up, and I was like, okay. So I went back, started watching episodes, found them on YouTube, and it's really a good show. I was shocked. I was like, well, this is pretty good. And so I got into that and then started developing the outfits and everything. And then one thing led to another. I did it for a while with a fake puppy husky, because he's known for having his husky with him called King through the show. And then decided I was going to do some professional photography. My cosplay has led many directions. So I've been on 5 different magazine covers. I've been in several magazines and everything. So when I do a cosplay, I usually do a professional shoot, and I have a photographer who's great and does events with me and stuff. And so I do a cosplay photo shoot to get really capture the character and get the costume and everything and get some great pictures. So while thinking of doing that, I was like, well, I got to have a real dog. So I researched that, found out that even though he was called a husky on the show, he was really a Malamute, which are bigger. And so I reached out to a Malamute rescue group and just started talking to them about, you know, do you have, and they were super excited. Apparently, at least one person in their office knew of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon, being that that was the most famous Malamute. Even if they called him a husky, they knew about it. Mm-hmm. And reached out to some of their new adopters, and one of them reached out to me and sent pictures and everything, and he was perfect. Just the great size, like, what, 120, 30 pounds, and just wonderful temperament. Mm-hmm. And he was a he was at a Amish puppy mill, and he was rescued once they were done with him, and so they got him out of there. And has wonderful parents now, and they were excited to do it. They thought it'd be fun and get him into the public a little bit more, and just great temperament. So yeah, so he became a guest of mine, and became, you know, Sergeant Press of the Yukon and King in real life at the Mid-Atlantic Nostalgia Convention, and went over great. People love seeing him. That was a good time. So yeah, you just don't know what this will lead you to, this cosplay stuff. That's for sure.
And that's the fun thing, because for people that are seeing it, like, they're wondering, like, who's Sergeant Preston? And it can send you down a rabbit hole. And the beauty of it is, at a convention like this, there's people there that can answer those questions to you, because they're fans of so many different things. So if you start talking to people around you, you know, especially if you hear somebody, oh, there's Sergeant Preston. Well, you know, they actually recognize the person. They probably, if you went up to them, they'll probably be able to tell you, oh, this is what that show is about. Besides asking you, you know, it's like they can, you know, and you might actually have somebody that's a fan with it and go with it and take it that extra level. And then next thing you know, like you did, you look up the TV show, and then you're like, oh, and you're going down that rabbit hole of Sergeant Preston and, you know, that kind of thing, and having a good time. And that's what I love about, I think, not just that, but like episodes that we do of movie discussions and interviews, it sends people down these other avenues of looking at the stuff. And when you talked about cosplay hitting it big, I don't know if you realize this, but it was like 4 or 5 years ago, I think, there was a one of those, you know, they do these reality shows and stuff. And there was one, it was cosplayers, where they had the thing where they had to build different costumes, and it was like, and that kind of stuff, and they had to go through it. This was back when Face Off, the science fiction one where people did the masks were going and the makeup were going on. They had another one that was cosplay. And I thought that was kind of interesting. You saw these people, again, with that love and how they did all these different techniques to try to make different costumes.
It's like we were talking, like, it's just grown in every aspect. In fact, right before the pandemic, I was in the running to be on a show like that. It was going to be run by DC, and they were filming in California. And I was in the running. We did all the interviews and everything, and then the pandemic hit, and I don't think they're going to do it. I haven't heard a peep from nobody since that show that was getting put together. It changed so much stuff. but it's fun, and the thing of it is there's different levels of cosplay. Well, I don't want to say levels, but different styles. So you have a lot of people like myself. I'm very artistic. I paint. I've always done everything, created things, you know, from scratch and all that. So to me, the cosplay feeds that artistic stuff. In fact, you know, even right now, I'm sitting here next to a sewing machine because I'm working on something. I learned how to sew because of cosplay, just on my own, because I had a reason to do it. And so I learned how to use a machine and do all stuff. there's an artistic part of it, and what I like about that and is I can put my spin on everything now. Then you also have cosplayers that, if you're not artistic at all or crafty or anything, you can just buy the stuff. You're still a cosplayer. Put it on, go out and have fun. So you can do it many different ways, many different levels, and it all, you know, there's a good aspect to each thing that you do, and they can lead to other things. I enjoy the just the part that I'm doing now, almost as much as when I'm wearing it in the public, is the creation of it. And so that fits that need for me, because I always have to do something artistic every now and then. It just eats on me. So, you know, being able to work on something like that anytime I want, that's really helps a lot. So, you know, some cosplayers are not just bringing you the character, they're also bringing you their creations too. So there's so many different levels of this and how it works, the cosplay. It's very interesting. Like I said, I didn't even know what the word meant until, you know, I got into it. So it's blown my mind. And I don't do, I wouldn't say I do all the, I turn down a lot of stuff. And we were saying earlier, there's so many conventions that come and go. And I see new ones popping up all the time and all that. And I end up turning down a lot of stuff unless it has something that catches my eye. Like I said, when we were talking about the Mid-Atlantic Nostalgia Convention, their donations to St. Jude and, you know, just, you know, if you got stuff like that, it gets more my attention where I'm like, okay, let me look into a little further and, you know. But I do turn down a lot of stuff, and it's just because there's so much out there, you know. For a while there, in 2015 to, I think, 17, it was like a three-year span, I was gone like every weekend doing this. That when I was doing the Iron Man, and Iron Man was so popular, I mean, I had requests coming in left and right from everything, theater premieres, this. And at the time, I was trying to do them all. And it was just too much. It's enjoyable, but it is work. I mean, there's a lot, you know, to do. So now I've cut it back to, I just do specific conventions. And requests come in, and if there's a request, like I've gotten a request to do a video for a child who had a heart condition, you know, stuff like that. That comes priority. And so, you know, if there's something like that with a child, that takes precedence over everything. And so that I'm doing, and if it, you know, interferes with something else, oh, well, this is more important at the time. So that happens, and it does. Sometimes they cross paths. I could be booked here, but then there's a special thing to do here. I mean, from anything, there's medical fundraisers for children's with issues. I mean, I've done so much and I met, you know, great people and stuff. So, I've cut it back. And as far as standard conventions go, if somebody's interested, you know, they contact me, like I said, as long as it's not a first year convention, I'll look into it, see what you're about, what you're going at. And, you know, we go from there. But literally, you could be gone every weekend. I would think you could probably manage it to be every weekend, go to a convention somewhere reasonable around you. There's so many.
Yeah, well, you and I live in an area, being on the East Coast. I think you live in Virginia, right? And I live in Maryland.
Yes.
So you and I are in a spot where there's so many locations within a reasonable drive that you can go to. And I've had people say to me, well, Steve, do you go to this convention and that convention and this convention? And these are just ones in the Baltimore, Maryland area. And I'm like, I don't have that kind of money, you know, during time, just to go
right.
So I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, there's a lot of them I would love to go to and do, but it's just, you can only do so much as you can do it. And the burning question, this September 7th through the 9th in 2023 at Mid-Atlantic, this is the big question, Joe.
I'm ready.
Are you able to share with us what you're going to be cosplaying? You say you do two a day. That's six.
Six.
Thursday,
when I'm brought
Friday,
in.
And Saturday. I don't know if you figured out what date you'll be what, but what do you know? Can you share with us any of the six or all the six?
I can share, but I also like to leave surprises for the attendees.
Well, give us as many as you feel comfortable with.
We'll do a mixture. This year, now, like I said, this is my fifth or sixth year with them. So this year I decided I'm not repeating any cosplay. Everything is either going to be brand new or something that I've never taken to Mid-Atlantic. And so I'm doing that this year. I feel a little bad because I do like certain characters to be represented at this one, like the Lone Ranger and everything, but I felt it was the year. All new stuff to give people a variety, especially being that we're getting more cosplayers now. they're going to be doing some of the standard stuff. Like I know another guy that is now doing Lone Ranger, so he'll probably be there and everything. One of them that I'm doing, so far I'm very happy with, it's, you know, like theater quality. And this was a request. It'll be Zorro.
Oh.
I'm doing my version of Zorro, and this was requested by an author who is at the Mid-Atlantic Nostalgia Con, John French, and he does Zorro books, and stories, and really good too. And he was requesting a Zorro last year because none's been to Mid-Atlantic, and so they pointed in my direction, and so this is almost a year later, and it's ready to go. So definitely Zorro will be there.
Oh, and then I gotta say, with George Hamilton being there, it's a good time to be
right.
Zorro.
Yeah, and I didn't even know that, you know, that he was coming, you know, because this was last year, it was requested. I'm like, I'll have it for you by next year. So that's pretty neat that he'll be there. Another one that'll go well there, Dick Tracy. I haven't seen anyone do Dick Tracy, so I was like, well, I'll get that one done. So that's coming. And a couple other more special ones, trying to decide what to get rid, to put out there, because I do want them to be surprised. I am venturing a little bit into the 90s with one cosplay, which I'll tell you. Dr. Evil.
Ooh.
Yeah, from Austin Powers, you know, because it was basically themed off of 007.
And you got the hair.
Austin Powers was. And I have the hairstyle, so it's a win-win, right? Yeah, that's coming, and he's bringing friends. Plenty of friends for this one, so that's something that should be pretty good, because it'll almost be a group from that show.
So, that
should be pretty fun.
So that should be shagtastic.
Absolutely. That works.
Well, come on, it's Austin Powers. It had to go there.
Yeah, and so there's a bunch of new stuff, and then I am bringing a couple that I've had that I haven't done there for various reasons. So I will have an authentic samurai. Now, if you watched Westworld, it ties back to Westworld. The new Westworld also had Samurai Land, if you remember, and there was episodes in Samurai era. And so, being a martial artist too, I was like, well, I want to do a samurai. And now I got the Westworld connection when that was on. So I did that, and it was actually authentic from Japan, but I changed it a little bit, like I do everything. So I'm doing that this year just because I want to have the samurai there. But it's a beautiful, you know, if you're into that style, just the outfit itself, it's just beautiful. The way that thing's put together, it's really nice. Also doing
no, you give me four. You give me four. There's only two
left. I'm gonna give you Gladiator.
All right.
Now Gladiator. Obviously from the movie with Russell Crowe. But for that one, I took, because he wore multiple outfits in different variations. I combined them all into one, the aspects that I like. And so I'm bringing him. But another reason I'm bringing him is there's a new coffee shop being built in Maryland.
Oh, yes, there is.
The Screaming Bean. And it is under process of being built now. And they are going to have a permanent coffee called Iron Knight Coffee. And my Gladiator will be on the packaging. And so I'm bringing the Gladiator out now, because the coffee shop should be opening towards the end of the year. And so that'll be something new. So being there, the Iron Knight will have his own coffee there. Pretty excited about that one. And you'll be able to buy it mail order also, so you don't have to always be at the location. So that's the reason the Gladiator's coming, because there's a whole coffee coming out in that area in Maryland towards the end of the year. So I'm bringing the Gladiator too. And that's another one that's very to look at, because, you know, I try to make it's all authentic, so it's metal and, you know, the way it would be. So that should garner some interest. And there's a few more. We'll leave some surprises.
As I said, you gave me five, so you must be doing more than six. So you're going, you must be going all out.
All right, yeah, we're doing six. So there's only one I didn't tell you.
Yep.
Just one surprise now.
It's like when you buy those packages that have the mystery items in it, and they always have that one that's hidden. There's only one way to find out. You know five of them. We don't know what days these are coming out. Will the mystery costume come out Thursday? Will it come out Friday? Or will it come out Saturday? There's only one way to find out, and that's to go to all 3 days.
There's something great every day there. That's what's nice about it.
Got to put that cheese in there.
Yeah, you can't go wrong. I have to. It's one of my favorite conventions. And so I look forward to it.
Well, I look forward to always seeing you there, as you know, because you and I talk at the convention, and I love your costumes. I'm going to miss the Gunfighter, but then again, I've seen the Gunfighter a lot, so it's going to be cool seeing six new ones. One year, you might have to go do a commercial version and do because you got the hair for it, the hairstyle, and Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean. Yeah, you never know what I'll come up with. But that's the fun part of it.
Or the genie from Aladdin.
Yeah, there's a lot of options.
Yeah, there's so many. I mean, I just enjoy the surprise. The ones that he's done in the past that we didn't talk about, you've done Battlestar Galactica, like you mentioned earlier, the Green Hornet. I mean, there's Lone Ranger, which you've mentioned before. There's so many of them that you have mentioned. And like we said, there's more and more cosplayers out there. Like I mentioned about the people dressed up as Alice from the cast of Alice. There's another guy who's dressed up as the guy from Firefox, the Clint Eastwood, when he's wearing the pilot outfit.
Yes.
So you couldn't see him. You have your friend that's usually with you, and he's dressed up as Woody and Hawkeye and Magnum PI and that kind of stuff. So there's so many other people there. And also, you've been Buzz Lightyear in the past, you know. So there's so many outfits and costumes, and you can follow Joe on Facebook, you know, and you can see a lot of these pictures that show up. Where would you want to follow you on Facebook, or do you have a website?
No, I just mainly do Facebook at Iron Knight Cosplay, and I also have an Instagram, Iron Knight Cosplay, but I just post pictures there. I don't interact a whole lot on Instagram, so Facebook's the best place to reach me, but also you can look through all the different costumes and things that are going on and events that are happening.
And like I said, they've been wonderful, and you talked about the creating the costume and then getting to entertain people at the costume, but also you get to practice a slight bit of acting chops because you get to act the character. Joe, again, I want to thank you for joining me to talk about cosplaying and give people an idea of what it's like to go through the process of making it at all. And I hope, listeners, again, you come out to the Mid-Atlantic Nostalgia Convention this September 7th through the 9th, 2023, and come out there. And not only just to see the celebrities that are going to be there. We mentioned George Hamilton. There's a bunch. You can go to MidAtlanticNostalgiaConvention.com and see the whole list. And on that list is Iron Knight Cosplay, the official cosplay of Mid-Atlantic Nostalgia Convention. But there's a lot of other people there. Joe will be wandering around at different times at the convention, you know, so it's one of those things. It's like he's not going to be at a set spot. So there have been some times where I've only seen two of Joe's outfits because we were walking through the convention at the different, like, never meeting. So you got to look for them. And usually you'll see some other people there, snap some pictures. Joe's always willing to let that happen. And depending again what character he's doing, to how much he'll interact with you in a normal way, normal-ish way.
Oh, yeah. It's always a lot of fun. May I add that I am super excited being that Spider-Man is going to be at the Mid-Atlantic Nostalgia Convention. This is one of those I never thought I'd get to meet. Nicholas Hammond will be there, the original Spider-Man from the 70s. I cannot believe it. It's one of those I'm very excited to meet, and I've met a lot of celebrities, but this one I'm super excited to meet.
And also, I think, was it Ellie Wood Walker, the first person to play Wonder Woman on TV or whatever? It was in a pilot that never aired. But it was like the first costumed Wonder Woman, whatever, something along those lines. She's going to be there too. So you're talking about, you have your DC superhero and you have your Marvel superhero.
Absolutely. That pilot is actually on YouTube. I looked it up because I never saw it before. I did find it on YouTube. It was pretty interesting. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm going to be looking it up before I go to meet her. But it's just, like Joe said, it's an exciting time. Go to it. Have fun. There's lots of vendors there. It's family friendly. It's just overall a great time. And Joe, thanks again for taking time out of your day to spend an hour or so with me talking about your costumes.
Well, I appreciate it. Appreciate the invitation and look forward to seeing you soon in a few weeks.
Yep, in just a couple of weeks, we're going to be together again. I hope everybody enjoyed that interview. As we remind everybody, the Mid-Atlantic Nostalgia Convention is this September through September 7th through the 9th of 2023. So I hope to see people there. Come there to see George Hamilton, Nicholas Hammond, Joanna Cassidy, and a lot of other people that we've mentioned in this episode, the episode I did with Martin Grahams, where we discussed it in more detail, and also on Her Majesty's Secret Service. And, of course, Brendan Faulkner, who I interviewed a couple episodes ago, that is also going to be there in the dealer room. So I hope everybody comes and has a good time. And as always, if you want to leave us feedback, email us at diecastmoviepodcast@gmail.com or leave us a message on our Facebook page. We're going to end this episode with a promo for another podcast that I like and I really enjoy, and that is The Bloody Pit, run by Rodney Barnett. So I'll let you guys hear that trailer as we exit out and give that podcast a listen to. It's a good one. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Hello, this is Rod Barnett. I'm the host of The Bloody Pit, the podcast that examines films from across the decades. On The Bloody Pit, we have several ongoing series of shows within the show focused on specific things in genre cinema that I and my co-hosts find fascinating. There's a long-running series focused on Italian maestro Antonio Margheriti's films from the 1960s all the way up through 1990. There's an on-again, off-again series focused on 1970s science fiction films. There's an in-depth look at the Western movies that William Castle made before he struck out on his own and became the horror auteur that we know and love. A look at the classic Coffin Joe films from Brazil. And our long-term project to look at every Universal horror film made in the 1940s. That's a long project, people. It's going to take us a long time. Sprinkled in amongst those are various other episodes focused on other stranger areas of cinema, like Lucio Fulci, Dario Argento, and even some obscure British crime films from time to time. So join me and my rotating crew of co-hosts as we examine the stranger side of cinema through an exploitation lens. Except when we don't? Yeah, you never really know exactly what to expect on The Bloody Pit. So join me for The Bloody Pit.